And now the voters have spoken. Once again, in Maine, voting to reject a law that legalized same-sex marriage in the state of Maine. It's not the first time voters in states around the country have rejected same-sex marriage or gay marriage referenda if they've been put on the ballot. More than 30 times has this happened. So the question, and I pose it at the top of the hour, is when do advocates take no for an answer? Where do we go from here? Joining us now to talk about both the emotional and strategic stakes in what to do next regarding same-sex marriage advocates is Suzanne Goldberg, Columbia University law professor and director of the Gender and Sexuality Law Program. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning.
Jill Barkley joins us, a resident of Portland, Maine, who planned to marry her partner next summer. And, of course, those plans are disrupted, at least if she's going to have the marriage there in Maine. Jill Barkley, good morning.
Good morning.
And Andrew McLean, a resident of Gorham, Maine, volunteered with Equality Maine, and he also has his own personal stake in the outcome. Jill and Andrew, did you feel emotionally connected to this verdict? A majority of people who went to the polls in Maine said no to what it is that, Jill, you're planning to do.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of emotion involved right now. Obviously, it's a heartbreaking loss, but I think it's also important to remember that almost half of the voters that went to the polls voted for these rights to be bestowed on same-sex couples here, and I think that that is something that we could continue to work for.
Although it has no legal standing, even though it's a silver lining, I suppose. Andrew McLean, where do you go from here?
It is a very, very, it was a very, very sad day yesterday. But the fact remains is that there are thousands of gay and lesbian couples who are still denied those basic rights that come along with marriage. And we have to wait another couple of years to hopefully get on board with another campaign to get those rights.
Suzanne Goldberg, is it possible that the campaigns themselves are creating a body of law which explicitly forbids same-sex marriage that may complicate the civil rights implications of trying to enforce legally some sort of national tolerance of this practice?
Actually, I think what the campaigns tell us is that the tipping point is in sight, that for people who want marriage equality for same-sex couples, the glass is nearly half full. And if we look at the campaigns not just in the moment but in a sort of broader frame, what we see is that the change has been steady and that it's really, I think, just a matter of time, a short amount of time probably, before we get to the point where gay and lesbian couples can marry freely.
And at what point is doing this over and over again, Jill Barkley, a bad strategy for advocates nationally?
I'm not sure. I think that in Maine, you know, this was our first go, and we definitely had a very successful legislative campaign. We passed the bill to our Senate, our House, our governor signed it, and so many Mainers came out to say that they do support marriage equality. So I think a second round is definitely not a bad idea. I think it's a good idea, and I think that it could be winnable.
And why do ballot measures work here? I mean, Andrew McLean, Celeste has mentioned on this program a number of times
right. That
civil rights was not a ballot measure in Mississippi to integrate public schools. If that was our mechanism, we'd still probably have slavery in the United States.
Definitely, Andrew? Have segregation.
I think it's a very good point. You know, any time that we subject people's rights to a people's veto, for instance, in Maine, history tells us that it doesn't work. You know, we would still, Brown versus Board of Education would not have happened. We would not have had desegregation if it was put up for a popular vote, you know. So I think that's what, we get into a lot of trouble in this country when we put up people's rights for a vote.
Well, Suzanne, that's the question. As we were just saying, you know, the people of the United States are not historically very good at granting rights by popular vote. So at this point, could this fight be taken better simply to courts and legislatures rather than constantly putting it on the ballot?
It seems to me that the fight happens on all fronts, right? It is happening in courts. It is happening in legislatures and at the ballot. And it's also true that there's a very long history, including in the 1960s, of voters taking away anti-race discrimination protections from that had been passed by legislatures. But I think what we see and what's gained from these ballot measures, however they come out, is that the conversation starts to change in important ways, and that the numbers of people, at least in Maine, who are envisioning and willing to straightforward say yes to marriage equality for same-sex couples, those numbers are growing and will continue to grow as a result of the battle, ballot battles.
Yet it might not be responsible to preempt the debate. I mean, there is an alternative view, and the reason we're having this discussion is that it was voted down in Maine. Is the fact that no national figure, let's say, for instance, Barack Obama, weighed in Maine to try to change the vote and indicate this could be a national issue, does that prejudice the case of this becoming a civil rights issue that might actually find its way before the Supreme Court?
It would, of course, be helpful if the president would speak clearly and forthrightly, as he did during the campaign against discrimination, and now to speak forthrightly in favor of the end of marriage discrimination. But apart from the president, there are plenty of figures, both national and local, in every jurisdiction and around the country who are speaking out. And again, I think what we've seen is that number was fairly small just a few years ago, and it has ballooned so that the cultural conversation, along with the political, the legislative, and the judicial
right.
conversations are changing.
All right, finally, take us out to Jill Barkley. When you walk down the street, numerically, there's a pretty good chance that half of the people disapprove of your lifestyle and your plans to mm-hmm. get married. How does that make you feel based on this vote?
That's heartbreaking to think of it that way. Definitely my partner and I are in our late 20s, and we really wanted a legal civil marriage now. What breaks my heart more is thinking about the couples who really right. can't wait for these rights, who are older, facing well, health concerns, need to visit each other in the hospital.
And it's a long road ahead. Jill Barkley, Andrew McLean, and Suzanne Goldberg, thanks so much for the discussion. Suzanne Goldberg, Columbia Law Professor. Jill Barkley, resident of Portland, Maine, and Andrew McLean, a resident of Gorham, Maine, talking about the same-sex marriage referendum that was defeated this week in Maine. Thanks so much, guys.